Well, it's a beautiful morning out. Not quite as nice as yesterday temperature-wise, but we're glad to be alive and glad to be here, and we're thankful that you're here. We have a number of visitors that are visiting with us all the way from different places like Oklahoma and various spots in the world, but more importantly, from right here in Marshville. And we got some first-time visitors, and we're happy y'all have come our way and chosen to be here this morning. It's good to get together as God's people, to be able to sing these songs of praises, to offer prayers together, and to be together in the fellowship, and especially have the opportunity to study from God's Word. We appreciate so much the comforts that we have to be able to sit here and to enjoy in a very spacious environment with plenty of heat and air conditioner. And if you get too hot, just raise your hand and Ron will lower it. Or if it gets too cold, just do something. We'll make sure everybody's comfortable as possible. And that's sometimes a big challenge. But speaking of a challenge, we're going to talk about the Thanksgiving challenge. Hopefully this won't be too loud. If it is, well, let me know, Nathan, and we'll turn that down, Nathaniel, and make that work. The Thanksgiving challenge. And to set the stage for our study this morning, I would like for you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at the end of the chapter, starting about verse 12. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church. He speaks to Christians and he says in verse 12, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize that those who labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves." Verse 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." Verse 15, "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all." The title above verse 12 in the New King James says, "Various exhortations." And truly they are. They're good words that we can live by. Words that encourage us to live in such a way that we respect others, we have peace, and that we find true joy, all along with dealing with one another and pursuing that which is good both for ourselves and for all. And then verse 16, notice what Paul writes. "Rejoice always and pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now when we think about Thanksgiving challenge, most people go to thinking about the day. And for some, it is quite a challenge because they don't eat turkey. Can you imagine that? Not eating turkey? Or maybe a good ham? Well, we've got folks that are vegetarians. Maybe some of you are vegetarians. Of course, this day that we call Thanksgiving as an American celebrated holiday is a challenge if you're fixing a traditional dinner because of the turkey. And so you search and maybe you find ways to make various things that will provide you with a meal that you would consider the traditional meal. But for me, it's going to be meat. Tell you that right now. Look forward to that part of it. But for others, it's a challenge. And then, speaking of eating, I ran across this ad that I thought was pretty interesting. Lose a turkey by Thanksgiving. And it was challenging folks to lose weight. It says, don't be a turkey. Take the Advocare 24-day challenge. Well, I just have to tell you, I missed out on the challenge. I didn't start early enough. So maybe down the road, New Year's resolution, right? But I do like the line, "Leave the stuffing to the birds." Well, I'm looking forward to enjoying a fine meal. But some folks look forward to things like this. If Brother John Sanders were here this morning, this is probably something that he would participate in. And that is the turkey trot. And that is the challenge to run the race. In various places across the country, they have races where folks can enter in on what they have as the holiday, Thanksgiving Day, and there they can run the race and burn up a lot of calories. Well, I can assure you, unfortunately, that I will not be involved in that this year. Maybe next year, and then maybe not, and probably more likely not. This doesn't entice me too much to think about doing all that running that they're going to run. But this morning, we're not talking about the Thanksgiving Day. We're talking about Thanksgiving. Now, this is a time of the year that folks think about Thanksgiving. They think about Thanksgiving in reference to the day and what all that means. But we're talking about Thanksgiving as Paul writes about it. And notice what he says in verse 18. In everything, give thanks. That's a very powerful challenge that he presents for you and I. In fact, if you go back to verse 16, rejoice always. That's a big challenge, isn't it? How many of you got up this morning with a little bit of an ache and pain? Anybody? Kathy tells me when there's a change in weather before we even look out the window. Aches and pains. Doctors say, no, it doesn't work that way. That doctor's just not old enough yet, right? And so some days it's hard to get up and rejoice. And especially when we're going through the things that we have to deal with the sick folks that we have in our families, the sick folks that we may be, the challenges we have every day. It's sometimes hard to rejoice. And so that really does become a challenge. Then verse 17, pray without ceasing. That in itself is a tremendous challenge. And one of these days soon we'll have a lesson talking about the importance of praying without ceasing. But I want to focus this morning on verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Now that word everything is exactly what it means. It's a word that is a word that means all inclusive. You take all the parts and then you grab them together and that's everything. Mom says to her kids, go into your bedroom and get all of your laundry. I want everything. What does she mean? She means you take all those pieces of clothing, you put them in the basket, you gather them together, and you have everything. So they get washed. The totality. The words used in Matthew 4 and verse 4 by Jesus. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's inclusive of everything. So it has to create the total. And that's significant because that is the word that Paul uses. And then he says, in everything, give thanks. Now that word that's translated here, thanks, is from a word which we have an English word called Eucharist. It's used in some denominations to refer to the Lord's Supper. But the word actually references back to that which is thanksgiving or thanks or good grace. You remember, some folks used to bow their heads in a meal and say grace. They're giving thanks. It's exactly what it means. How do we know that? Acts 27, verse 35 is one example. And when he had said these things, talking about Paul, he took bread and gave thanks to God. Very easy to understand. Here's food. What's he doing? He's offering up thanks for that food. What did Jesus do? Well, remember when there were 7 loaves and the fish? Matthew 15, what did Jesus do? He took the 7 loaves and the fish. He gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude. And so here was food. What did they do? They offered thanks. That's essential. And it's real easy to think about when we've got food right there before us that we offer thanks for it. However, sometimes there's things placed before us that becomes hard or difficult to be thankful for. Now, how many of you would love to have this for lunch today? 2 of you. And I'm not in that count. I don't want something on my plate that looks back at me. I prefer not to have it that way. Cut the head off and we're good. How about this? How many of you are seafood eaters? Well, I see this food and run. It's not on my list, especially when those things got the little claws and they're looking at me. Not on my list. But notice that when you look at the translation in the ESV, that the scripture says, give thanks in all circumstances in the ESV. Now, why does it say that? Well, it's trying to get across to us the meaning of the word when it says give thanks. For everything or in everything is the question. Well, he is using the word in everything. Give thanks. It goes beyond food. It's talking about life itself in every circumstance. One writer put it this way. He said, in every circumstance, in joy and in sorrow, for everything, for prosperity and for adversity, in every place, in the house of God and on the bed of sickness, Christians should not only be engaged in constant prayer, but in constant thanksgiving in every circumstance. Now that creates the challenge, doesn't it? It's easy when there's a plate of food there that I love to give thanks for it. And even the hands that prepared it. But what about when you're sitting in a hospital room with somebody that's seriously ill? Our hearts and our minds upon them, and we pray to God and ask for help. And in that time, it's sometimes more difficult to think about giving thanks in every circumstance. You see, what the Scripture is appealing for us to do is to give thanks in all things. And that is truly the challenge that we have. Thanks in all. Now, when we think about Thanksgiving as a Thanksgiving day, that day for some of our ladies will be particularly challenging because they're going to be working to prepare their best. They want the food to be the best. Now, some folks have decided that it's better that somebody does it professionally, so they go out to eat on the day. Nothing wrong with that. Somebody's working hard to prepare the food. For others, they'll go through the stress to try to get everything ready at the same time and to make sure it's the best it can be. But there's a challenge with that day. And remember, not talking about that day. We're talking about every day. And this cartoon does well to illustrate what I'm talking about. If you can read what is being said here, they're all getting ready to offer prayer, and looks like Dad turns to the little girl because she speaks up. And if you can see this, here's what she says. Mom, we have so much to be thankful for. One day hardly seems to be enough, right? Now let me read that again. We have so much to be thankful for. One day hardly seems to be enough, right? How many of you would agree with this young lady? Most of us would, because we know one day is not enough. Paul encourages us to give thanks always, in everything, in every circumstance, in the face of every challenge. He encourages us to give thanks as a part of our life. And that therein is the challenge. You know, we put a lot of focus in America on the one day. But as Christians, we know there's more than just one day. There's every day. And of course, not every day is a good day, is it? Things go wrong. Of course, it's a good day that we're a Christian. It's a good day that we're alive. It's a good day that we can have a heartbeat. But yet, we understand there is life with adversity. And so the real challenge of Thanksgiving is actually to be thankful daily. And not just one day a year, but every day. Biblical Thanksgiving is every day. Now we can be glad that our nation takes time to remind people to be thankful, but we need to be glad that God reminds us to be thankful every day. Because God is good all the time, isn't He? And here's what I like to think about. Here's what I like to consider. Here's what I like. God is good all the time, and Paul wants us to understand it's a no matter what. And that's the challenge, isn't it? To be thankful no matter what. You see, thankfulness is an attitude that walks with us because we walk with the Almighty God. But I feel sorry for folks that don't have a faith and a belief in the God to give thanks. One of the challenges that we have as God's people is dealing with the human ingratitude that refuses to acknowledge God as Creator and King. And our world is not as good as it could be in society because we've got a number of folks who are not grateful to the Almighty, who do not recognize Him as their Creator. Notice in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, Paul is talking. He says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. There's a lot of people that grew up with knowledge of God, but they turned their back on God and they're no longer living with a faith in God. And they're no longer thankful. And notice what he says, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. You ever notice that when someone goes around saying, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in God? They almost do it arrogantly. It's like they've risen above everybody else and say, oh, what a fool, you believe in God. What does Paul say? Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image. And that is particularly sad when people turn from the Almighty God and give themselves over to worship the things that are made by the hands of men. Unfortunately, Thursday as well as almost every day in some homes, this is what the table looks like. That kind of reminds me back when we were kids, six boys growing up in one house. It was not a rare thing for two of us to decide that we didn't like something the other one had done, and the table was the time to show mom and dad how we were displeased, and the fists would start or the words would fly. And because of that, mom and dad would be distracted and they'd have to deal with us, and before you know it, one was eating, the other one was not, and pretty soon the whole idea of saying the prayer was out the window. And we had a meal of ingratitude. In our world today, there's too many meals that will be eaten in America with ingratitude. Folks not taking the time to bow their heads and say, God, thank you. A lot of people will not because they're atheists. In fact, there's a book out that's entitled An Atheist Guide to Thanksgiving. Things to do while everyone else is saying grace. It's a children's book. Article was entitled Godless Thanksgiving. Do atheists have anyone to thank? Well, they answered the question. They said, oh yeah, we do. We need to thank people. We need to give thanks to farmers, give thanks to doctors and modern medicine, thanks to engineers and modern technology, thanks to science and scientists, thanks to friends and family. And then the last thing on the list is that gods are irrelevant and thanking gods is insulting. Notice how they try to push it on us. Children are taught in schools anymore that Thanksgiving was about the pilgrims thanking the Indians. Now those people bowed their heads and thanked God they could eat. How sad it is when the world pushes God out the window. But there's some serious questions I'd like to ask folks. Fundamental questions. Who do I have to thank for my very existence? Who put breath in my lungs and blood in my veins? Well, somebody can just say, well, mom and dad. Goes much further than that, doesn't it? As much as man works with whatever to create different cells that do this and that and the other, like they were talking about growing kidney cells and now it's producing some other things that they didn't plan on because they use these root cells or whatever they call them, stem cells. Well, things like that happen. But one of the fundamental things is they can't produce the life that God gives us. And to whom must I answer for how I live my life? An atheist may think he has no one to answer to, but who would want to gamble like they're gambling? Who would want to take the chance that they're taking to say, I don't believe in God? What if they're wrong? Well, we know they're wrong if we believe in God. And it goes beyond faith. There's evidence that stand clear and loud that our God exists. When you think about it, faith goes all the way back for the atheist. He has to believe that this world came into existence from nothing, absolute nothing. For Christians, we go back and we believe that this world came into existence because of a power. Now, what's more logical to believe? That nothing existed and now we have something, or that power existed and we have creation? You see, that's the most logical. But oftentimes, those who claim to be atheists don't want to think back that far. And yet, sadly, those who live that way don't take the time to truly be thankful. But let's make it applicable to us as Christians. Have you ever thanked God for the wrong things? Well, I'm sure I have. Especially as kids growing up. Giving thanksgiving is a learning process. As we mature and grow in Christ, we learn about thanksgiving. One of the interesting cases that we have that Jesus tells us about is in Luke chapter 18. He speaks a parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And I know a lot of folks have been turned off by people like this, who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. You see, our faith and trust is in God, the God who's the Creator, the Almighty. And our dependence is upon Jesus Christ and what He did for us. But yet there are some in the religious world who trust in themselves. And Jesus speaks this parable to them. Those who thought they were righteous and despised others. He goes on, verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And notice what happens in verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as the tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, Jesus in the account gives us the information that he's standing afar off. Would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself, Jesus says, will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. But notice that this Pharisee is thanking God for the wrong things. There was no place for this type of thanksgiving. His heart was not humble before the Almighty. And that really actually is important in reference to thanksgiving, because thanksgiving is the willingness to be able to humble ourselves enough to say, God, I depend upon you. Thank you. Thank you. And that is significant. I hear in society it's hard for folks to walk up to another person and say thank you. And for some people it's hard to bow their heads before an Almighty God and say thank you. Because sometimes we just don't take the time to get our priorities in the right place. And that's a part of the challenge. Now this little boy at school, he was given the opportunity to count his blessings and name them one by one. And you'll notice the number one for him, Netflix. Well, he was being honest, wasn't he? And then it comes mommy and daddy, and poor Sarah, she's number four. But at least he was thinking, wasn't he? And that's significant because we do need to take the time to think. To think and to thank God for all that He's done for us. But another challenge that I want to share with you before we end this morning is this. One of the things that happens as the day that we set aside as a holiday approaches is there's a lot of anxiety and worry, especially for those who are entrusted with getting everything ready. But when you think about life, anxiety and worry actually gets in our way every day, to the point that it pushes out thanksgiving. And it's interesting that Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 4 and verse 6, and he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Anxiety is that which can push away or push out thanksgiving in our lives. When we're consumed with anxiety and worry, we're not thinking in the right direction so as to take the time to be thankful. And most importantly, verse 7, what happens to the peace of God? You see, our connection with God is essential because God has something there for us. A peace. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. And what's that peace going to do that surpasses understanding? It's going to guard our hearts. It will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Folks, there's enough turmoil in life, isn't there? Just living. But there is an answer. It's in that relationship with God, wherein we can give thanks in everything, in every phase and walk of life that we live. Now, of course, I know some of you ladies are going to be worried because you're afraid your turkey is going to come out looking like this. Right? You think this has been barbecued, Terry? A little overmuch? But Jesus said, don't worry. Matthew 6, verse 25. Do not worry about your life. Verse 33. Therefore, do not worry, Matthew 6, what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall wear. Gentleman goes in, his wife doesn't smell any food, and he's really concerned because he's hungry. And he's thinking, honey, you need to be fixing lunch. She goes, don't worry, because I'm not. You're taking me out to eat. See, problem solved. Don't worry. It's sometimes difficult, especially when you're involved in making sure everything is just right the way you want it. And of course, we can allow that worry and anxiety to consume us. But there's one other thing that goes along with that that we've got to really be careful. A part of the Thanksgiving challenge that I want to mention is the fact that we can let sin replace our Thanksgiving. What do you mean, Rick? Well, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, and he says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Most of us have worked in the world. We know how people behave in the world and we know how they live. We also know that they can allow sin to encompass their life to the point they don't even think. They may say they believe in God, but they don't even think about taking the time to be thankful for what they have because they're consumed by sin. Now look at this poor fellow right here. You think he's having a good day? He might think he is because he's stuffing himself. And it's good to eat, but I believe he's got a little hog wild on this turkey. If you remember the TV show The Hillbillies, Jethro Bodine, that's how he'd eat the turkey. Well, what's this mean? Well, it means this poor guy is consumed, but his priorities are wrong. And that's what happens. We get our priorities wrong when we let sin replace Thanksgiving in our lives. And what's going to happen then? Well, the wages of sin is death. I would not want to be this fellow's stomach about an hour from now, after eating like this. It's going to be painful. Well, when we get the payday for sin, that's going to be painful as well. That's why, when we think about the Thanksgiving challenge, we go beyond just one day, and we think about the opportunity that we have to be thankful for the opportunity to be a faithful Christian. This morning, that's the question I have for you. Are you a Christian? Are you a faithful Christian? Is your life a day of living in thanksgiving for God and what He's done for you? And especially for His Son who came to the cross to die for you, to give you a cleansing through the remission of sins. That's available if you're willing to, in faith, turn from your sin, repent, make the confession that Jesus is the Christ, and then to be baptized into Christ. What happens there? Our sins are washed away. And truly we can be thankful for that day because there we live with the promise that the blood flows from Calvary for us who are Christians. When we sin, there's an answer, forgiveness. And God's made that available to us if we walk faithfully with Him. And so can you this morning give thanks for being a Christian? If not, then this morning we're going to beg you to think about your life. To think about taking the right step, to make the right direction, so that you truly can bow your head and say, thank you, God, for sending Jesus to die for me. Jesus died for you. Why not take advantage of that this morning as we stand and sing? Would you come?